Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today's show, sponsored by Boost Mobile, the switch that gives you more. You know what? Just going to jump right into it here. There's a new All Elite Wrestling World Champion, and it's me, Chris Jericho. Wow, what a great weekend and what a great show. And I thought it was just apropos for me to kind of give you my all-out review. Now, I want to say this. I haven't seen the entire show. I want to give you my review for what I was experiencing backstage. You can read a lot of different reviews and rundowns of all the matches and stuff. And I saw some of it, didn't see other stuff, but I kind of want to like give you a day in the life of what was going on with Chris Jericho backstage. Now, obviously, the big match was Jericho versus Hangman Page, main event, All Out in Chicago, which was on August 31st, 2019. I believe the attendance was, 10 or 11,000 people, which was sold out. And I believe 10 minutes, something along those lines. You guys probably have, once again, this is not a fact-finding show. This is just my recollections and my experiences of what I went through. And wow, I mean, Chicago, always known for being one of the best actual crowds in the country as far as emotion and excitement, and definitely did not let down here. It was 1 year ago, basically almost to the day, around the same time frame, Labor Day weekend, when I myself and Jack Slade flew from Little Rock to Chicago, did the surprise appearance, beating up Kenny Omega when I was dressed up as Pentagon, and then getting into the private plane and flying right to Kansas City for the Fozzy gig. So nothing of that, not that much espionage this time. But definitely still a very newsworthy, memorable weekend as well. So let me fill you in from the start, basically what's going on. So I got to Chicago on the Thursday, and my wife Jessica and I went to an amazing soiree at the Khan's family high-rise apartment. They have a giant luxury mansion-esque style, you know, like I said, apartment on a high rise somewhere in downtown Chicago, like 67 floors up or whatever it was. And just a great meeting with sponsors and Time Warner people, and just getting ready for the big debut on TNT on October 2nd, which is just in a few weeks. So it's getting down to it and getting a chance to really talk to some of the executives who are going to be helping us along, who got the deal in the first place. Some of the actual sponsors that we're talking to come aboard, I don't want to give any of them away, but they're very big names, big corporations, as everybody wants to be associated with All Elite right now, due to the fact that we're the hottest wrestling company in the world today. But that was a great way to start off the week and kind of get into the mode of like, now it's real. You know what I mean? Like, after we've talked about it for so long, and the last show we had was back in May in Las Vegas, where the winner of Kenny and Jericho fought the winner of the Casino Royale Battle Royal to see who was going to be the first world champion. Of course, that was me and Paige. And once you get there and you know, do some great promos from this high-rise apartment, took some great pictures, some great fight-worthy pictures, Jericho nose-to-nose with Paige, like you'd see in a great boxing match. And the other one I really liked too, which was Jericho and Paige with Tony Khan kind of standing in the middle of us, holding the title, which is just a beautiful title, by the way. And, you know, it's just big fight presentations. And that's what we're trying to do in AEW to make things different from all the rest, is our title matches aren't random and they're not last minute, and everything kind of is there for a reason. So when you get your chance, it's a big deal. We want to make it like a big boxing pay-per-view or a big UFC pay-per-view where, this is a major event. So I felt really accomplished that. You can go on my Instagram at Chris Jericho Fozzy and see those pictures and see the last few promos that I did to build up the match and Hangman. Definitely Hangman. You know, one thing that I thought he could have built upon is his promos. And I think he really kind of came through over the last few weeks of really delivering some intensity and some urgency to the fact that he had to win the title. This was his big chance and his big goal. And, the goal was to build Hangman as a future top star here in AEW, which I think obviously we'll talk about that. I think that obviously happened at a big, big degree. And then Jess and I went, just to give you more background, went out with my great friend Charlie Benanti. He took us out to a great Italian restaurant in the Schaumburg area, Chicago Prime Italian. So we got a chance to hang out there and shoot the breeze. And it's always cool when you get to see kind of an old friend that you haven't seen for a while and not just see him backstage at a rock and roll show or whatever, actually get a chance to fellowship and hang out and it's just a really good time. So that area of Chicago, the Schaumburg area, I like the fact that AEW is kind of making it our home base. You know, Rosemont and the Allstate Arena is kind of WWE land, and you can go downtown to the United Center, but downtown Chicago is, wow, it's a, you think New York is busy. Chicago, getting down there from the airport probably takes you almost an hour. So to be kind of in our own little world in Schaumburg was really, really cool, and I'm looking forward to spending a lot more time there over the years as we do our shows exclusively in Chicago at the Sears Center. At least I hope it continues that way. I know we have another show there, Thanksgiving Eve, whatever date that is, November 23rd or something like that. So got a lot of good stuff coming up in the Chicago area, and once again, very excited about that. Next day was the 30th. We kind of had a company-wide physical blood work. We did some scans for some really cool stuff. Scans are usually used for video games and for action figures. And I'll tell you what, like I said, AEW, definitely the hottest wrestling company in the world today, and everybody wants to be a part of it. And we've got a lot of great companies that want to be associated with us. And I think it was great, obviously to have, young guys. You're talking about MJF and Penelope Ford and young guys and girls and, even Hangman and a lot of people that have never had action figures before. And do the face scan is really cool because they actually scan your face into a computer. So you can see like, oh my gosh, it looks like me. And that's what your action figure will look like or your video game character or whatever it may be. So once again, just a really cool experience for a lot of young talent that hasn't had this type of thing before. Unlike, grizzled old Jericho. It's like, geez, another scan. Of course, I never look at it that way. I'm always excited to be involved in anything like that, because it just makes your company bigger. It's more revenue for the guys and girls. So a very, very cool moment there. And then we had a great, I guess you'd say a seminar kind of from Chris Nowinski from the Concussion Institute. I'm probably getting that name wrong, but yeah, everyone knows Chris Harvard was his name in WWE and was a great talent, great promo. People forget that. And he suffered an early concussion, I think at 24, 25 years old, and has dedicated his life's work now is to helping other athletes identify concussion problems, helping sports companies and sports teams understand when people do have a concussion and how to deal with that. And I think, once again, very eye-opening for a lot of people. Not that you would notice that the next day with some of the insane matches that we saw with Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks and Darby Allin and Janela and Jimmy Havoc. But I listen to what he says because, I do not want to get a concussion. And I think there's no one move. I told the guys this afterwards, and everyone's going to have to figure it out for themselves. I remember when I was first starting in 1992 with Lance Storm in Winnipeg, Winter Heat at the Winnipeg, convention center, wherever we were. And Nick Bockwinkel was the commentator. And he said, you guys are great, but you move too fast and you do too much stuff. It's the famous story. You do too much. And you're thinking, oh, what does this old guy know? Here I am, 25 years later, 27 years later, saying the same thing to the kids. And of course, they're not going to listen. They'll listen when they're ready to. But my point is, there's not one move or bump that you're going to take that's going to get you more over or less over if you don't do it. Think about that. There's not one bump you're going to take that's going to make you more over if you do it or less over than if you don't. And if you have any doubt, don't do it, because I want all you guys to be wrestling and have the same type of longevity for your careers as I've had in mine. So I just thought once again, just seeing Chris and hearing him talk, and he's great because he can relate to the wrestlers. He can talk about taking bumps and being over and high spots and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I thought that he did a great job. It was very knowledgeable, very worthwhile, and I loved it. And I think hopefully a lot of the other people did as well. It was definitely something that needs to be talked about, and kudos to Tony Khan for hooking that up, and kudos to Chris coming to speak to us. So, and that leads to the big show the next day in Chicago at the Sears Center. And, you know, you show up early, because I like getting there early, getting there at like, you know, 1 o'clock, show starts at 7. I want to be ready and get into the headspace. And, you know, Hangman and I had you know, talked about a few things and kind of decided what direction we wanted the match to go in, and then talked with our producer, Dean Malenko, and the referee, Aubrey Edwards, who I specifically requested to be our referee for two reasons. One, I thought, I think she's the best referee in the company, just for me, for my opinions. We got some good referees, but I like her style. And I like the fact that we had the very first female referee officiating a world title match. You know, you talk about the women's revolution and all this other stuff. Like, I think the fact that she is my favorite referee in there, I thought she was deserving of the honor. And she did a great job. And it led to an awesome spot in the middle of the match, which we'll talk about. So, you get there early and you figure out what you want to do. And kind of there's a couple ideas we had that didn't work out when you try them in execution, which is good. Sometimes the ideas you have are, you know, so you, the expression that your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Well, it's like your imagination is bigger than what's actually possible from a gravity standpoint, from a logistics standpoint, momentum. And those things are very easily cleaned up. So we did that, and kind of then you just start getting into the groove. And it's funny because obviously you guys know about the Cracker Barrel Clash. The fact we're sponsored by Cracker Barrel, the famous Cracker Barrel that wouldn't get out of the ring in the Kenny and Jericho match back in Las Vegas, to where I started to sense the crowd was laughing at this Cracker Barrel. I'm like, I'll be damned if a Cracker Barrel is going to take away my steam. So that's why I just picked it up and we threw the damn thing out of the ring. But the fact that we're sponsored by Cracker Barrel, we also have catering by Cracker Barrel. So Cracker Barrel is like the road food by choice for most of the wrestlers in the business. You're driving on the highway, pull over a Cracker Barrel and have just a myriad, a multitude, a cornucopia, a potpourri of amazing food. And now it's catered by Cracker Barrel. I mean, Lance Storm would be in his glory, considering that Cracker Barrel was the caterer. It was just like his dream come true. All right, we're talking about All Out and All In, All Out. I get that mixed up. I know it's All Out. I have a little drink of coffee. Once again, this is a Jericho solo show. I like to do them from time to time, so please indulge me if I have to take a second to take a little sip of little coffee there. So you have the catering, the Cracker Barrel catering, and then it just gets time for the show. And it's amazing now to see how our organization has grown since we started just a few months ago. Obviously, just the setup, the staging. I mean, this is a Raw level stage. All the techs and supports and the backstage guys and the local loaders, then our crew and the refs and the ring and the catering and then the makeup. And we've got a whole makeup line that's actually run by Janet, Jan. I'm not sure what her last name is. I know it's Italian last name, but she was with the WWE for years and now she's back in the business, pulled back in the business by AEW. She's got a full team of completely bonded and licensed, you know, hair and makeup people, professionals. Same thing with the whole travel department and the catering, like I mentioned, and seamstress, another seamstress called Sandra is with us. She did lots of stuff in WWE for years. I think she was even working back in WCW for a while, and then went to WWE, and then now ends up in AEW. Good people and good people that are good at what they do will always find work, especially in this job, because it's a strange job. It's unlike any other. So you want to find people that understand the business, and they definitely do. So that was great to see. A lot of old faces, DDP, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, you know, familiar faces to see in that end, which was great. And then, you know, you just kind of get ready, and you always have a little, I got my little portable speaker in there, which is just cranking now. And I found a playlist on Spotify. I just felt like listening to some thrash. So I found the Big Four playlist. And of course, Big Four is Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, and Slayer. So I had a healthy selection of those bands going through my head as I prepare for the match. So the first match of All Out was the Women's Battle Royal. It was funny because we've had you have a few women signed, and we know them all, Britt Baker and Penelope Ford, like I mentioned, and Nyla Rose and Austin Kong and Brandi Rhodes. And then suddenly you see like another 15 girls walking around. It's funny because these are all Kenny Omegas and Brandi Rhodes have handpicked these girls, and they're from everywhere. Bea Priestley and Sadie Gibbs and Jazz was there, bald and just looking crazy, which was great. And Ivelisse and Mercedes Martinez and Big Swole. I'd never seen her before. So you got a lot of one girl was called Royal, something Royal. So a lot of people that I had never met before, I'd never seen before. And it was cool to watch how everybody, you know, it's hard because you get a women's battle royal and everybody's going to have, especially these ones, because they're groups of five that come out, and you see girls get like one or two spots to kind of show their metal, and then they get thrown out. So it's hard to kind of show your stuff, but you also only have, you know, a couple spots to show your stuff. So you better make it great. And I thought a lot of the girls did just that, which was pretty cool to see. Like I thought Priscilla Kelly had a good showing, showed some good stuff and looked great. Teal Piper's daughter, I don't think she'd even really train much, but we want to have her involved and kind of set the tone that she's in there now. Shazza McKenzie, I think she's from Australia or something along those lines. Allie, of course, is with us. So it's fun to watch the whole show and watch the whole match and some great stuff with Bea Priestley and Britt, because Britt got the concussion last show in Jacksonville from Bea, and there was a little bit of a vibe and a rivalry there. And then I thought it was, you know, Nyla Rose wins. She throws out Priestley, and then Priestley grabs the arm of Baker, the old famous Hulk Hogan, Sid Vicious from whatever Royal Rumble that was, probably 93, 94 Royal Rumble. And Rose gets the victory, so she earns the first spot in the AEW championship match. Now, once again, I really enjoyed this because I didn't know a lot of the girls, but I thought that there was some great surprises. And, you know, once again, this is kind of AEW. We're giving everybody a chance and get these women from all over the world. And some will stick, some will not. But so far, so good. What a great... a great start to the show and giving a lot of people a spotlight. And once again, that's what we're all about. I really like Britt Baker. I like Bea Priestley. I like Nyla Rose. I like Penelope Ford. As far as the ones that aren't officially signed to us, I thought Jazz looked like a killer. You can always use somebody like that. I thought Priscilla Kelly looked like a star. And there's a couple other ones that I dug as well. Mercedes Martinez, I hadn't seen her before. And she came out, got a great reaction. So Ivelisse, I know she's been around for a long time. So anyways, good luck to all of those girls. And hopefully we'll see a lot more of them in the future. Someone we will see a lot more of, especially on the Jericho cruise, is Private Party. And they worked Jack Evans and in Helico. I think I saw Jack Evans more this weekend than anybody else. I just kept running into him on the elevator, in the gym, you know, before the show, after the show, in the hotel lobby. Yeah, in the closet in my room when I opened up one time. I'm joking, of course. But yeah, so those two guys, and Helico is from Spain, I believe. And they, you know, the super athletic team, not a lot of facials from those guys, but that's something that they're going to have to learn. Private Party, on the other hand, I like them. I don't know if they're like 15 years old or 22 years old or whatever they are. They're young guys, but they got a lot of fire. They got a lot of cool moves, obviously. And they actually had the respect to come up to me and say, we have this double team move. It's like a double spinning back elbow. I'm like, you guys can probably not do that one for a while. And I promise not to do, I can't do any of the moves that you do. So give Dr. J his little spinning elbow. Let me get that over before you guys try to steal it with two of them at the same time. And we can go from there. But Private Party, great. Exciting, and I'm a big fan of them from the moment that Matt and Nick Jackson showed me their tape and said, we've just signed these guys, and I thought it was really, really cool to have them. And Private Party beat Angelico and Jack Evans by pinfall, which was really cool. I liked it, and of course, I think that they got a big future, and I just like their vibe. I like that. I think one of the things that the AEW has, we've got a younger contingency, which you need. You got to get that younger fan base in there. And those two guys are definitely fit in that category. And we have another guy that's very young and good looking guy and explosive in Jungle Boy. But what a great act Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt have. And I told Marco, when I first saw Marco Stunt, I thought, this is stupid. Like, why is this guy even in the business? And then I realized, you know what? Everyone told me I was too small when I first got into wrestling as well. So I talked to him for a bit. He's a good kid. I'm like, you know what? Good for him. And then they signed him. I'm like, why? And we're signing him now? But he's part of this, you know, Jurassic Express, the Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, Marco Stunt act, which I just thought was tremendous. And working with SCU, who, you know, ageless. A lot of people are, there's a lot of kind of pundits go, well, Chris Jericho's the first AEW champion and he's 48. Well, first of all, I'm the youngest AEW champion in history. So all you can go F yourselves. Second of all, age, what is it? I think it's more on match quality, excitement level, entertainment value. And SCU, I think CD, Chris Daniels might even be a little bit older than me, and who cares? You never notice it. They know exactly what to do. It's a great act, and what a perfect match to kick off the actual show. Those other two matches were the pre-show, I think they call it buy-in, which I think this is the best buy-in that we've had so far. And in the past, some of the buy-ins have been kind of less than zero, shall we say, but this was a good one. Specifically on the backs of the Private Party and then kind of the gimmick, shall we say, of the Battle Royal. But then you see SCU versus Jurassic Express. And man, like I said, once again, I'm getting ready. I'm getting, you know, some tape. I'm going to the medical room. I'm making certain accoutrements that we had to make. But I saw the last half of this match. And it was funny because I was watching Marco and Lucha and Jungle practicing this move where Jungle would throw Marco Stunt on the Luchasaurus, so then flip him over his back onto Chris Daniels. And they tried it a bunch and it wasn't working, but they were getting it enough where I'm like, you know what? Just stop practicing. When the red light comes on and the show is live, you guys are going to totally freaking nail it. They totally did. This great spot where he throws Marco on a Luchasaurus. And Luchasaurus flips him over his back onto Chris Daniels, catches him. And then I call him Jack Perry, but the Jungle Boy runs and spins, grabs Marco Stunt's legs and spins him like a top, which leads to like this crazy DDT. And then all this wackiness ensues until finally SCU hits the best Meltzer ever, which is just insane on two guys like Frankie Kazarian. Like now he's like a muscle man. He's got Jack and a Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt on his shoulders. And CD comes off with some kind of a backflip into the best Meltzer ever. And just a great, great opening match. And SCU, I mean, SCU is so valuable in my opinion, because you can put them in the opener, you can put them in the middle, you can put them in the main event, and you know what you're going to get with them, and they know exactly what to do. So thumbs up to that. And what I heard too on the down low is that even with all the new Kenny Omega merch and Jericho merch, and Young Bucks have a new shirt every day, it seems. God bless them for it. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com and look up the Young Bucks merchandise. And you can see that, and the number one shirt of the weekend was the Luchasaurus Jungle Boy shirt, which I believe has been out for a while. So that shows they're a hot act and ready to keep on moving to the next level. So I really, really enjoyed it. And I think that's a great way to start off the show. The Chicago crowd loved it. All right, we're talking about All Out and Cracker Barrel Clash. Darby Allin versus Joey Janela versus Jimmy Havoc. Now, listen, I am not stick in the mud when it comes to this sort of stuff, but I don't like just the out and out hardcore for the sake of hardcore. I know there's obviously a technique to it. It's not easy. I can't do it. I just know that when I took the big thumbtack bump against Dean Ambrose, the current Jon Moxley in the Ambrose Asylum match, and actually had 69 thumbtacks in my back, we made it a big deal. Never stopped talking about it. It was the finish of the match. It was the culmination of the match. It was the highlight of the match. This match started with Jimmy Havoc bringing a staple gun and stapling himself. I mean, it drives me crazy because I've seen Jimmy Havoc and he's from England, so he's been wrestling since he was 10, and he's a good technical performer as well. But some people like this sort of thing. But I'm telling you right now, when I work Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin, Joey Janela, we're not doing that stuff. So don't even suggest it. All these guys are very competent performers, and they're all over in their own different ways. But like I said, I mean, it's not my gig, it's not my jam, but that's one thing about AEW is we give you different styles of matches, and these three are three of the best at it. So I just don't like staple gunning myself, so I'm not going to do that. But those guys did, and what a spectacle it was. And it's very, you know, it's violence. I found this match, to me, gave me the same feeling as when I watched Moxley and Joey Janela at Fight for the Fallen it was the video game show, whichever the one was in Daytona Beach. I can't remember what they called it, Fighter Fest. And it's just not my thing. Like, I just, you know, it's like watching FMW in the early 90s. You go to New Japan and you go to WR, and then FMW, they have, like, you know, Piranha in a box match. There actually was a Piranha in a box. They put an alligator in a box and a boa constrictor in a box. And it's like, it's not wrestling to me. I'm sure that people love it. And good on those guys. I think they're all talented. I think Darby Allin, I love his gimmick. He's a very, got much a reckless abandon. He should be called Reckless Abandon Darby Allin. Goes very far to please the crowd, for sure. And sooner or later, they're going to have to listen to the advice of Chris Stawinski to not have their careers end early. But who am I to tell them that? As the new age Nick Bockwinkel, they're going to look at me like I'm nuts, the same way that I looked at Nick when he told me the same thing. So I'm glad all those guys are okay. Not my bag, but for if it is, you're not going to get a better hardcore death match like that. And I'm sure Cracker Barrel was to the moon and back, since they actually used the Cracker Barrel in the match. And the Cracker Barrel was much lighter than the Cracker Barrel that I had to throw out of the top rope because they couldn't get it out. So Cracker Barrel clash once again. Then you got the match that was put together last minute when Jon Moxley got hurt with the MRSA infection. And man, he sent me some pictures of it. It's really gross. And thankfully, they're able to get rid of that because MRSA is no joke. I remember Bob Holly had a MRSA infection years ago and almost had to get his arm amputated. So this is not something you take lightly. And it's also contagious, so anybody can get it. So thankfully, Mox was smart enough to see that. And I know it bummed him out. He was really sad that he couldn't be there, but you got to think big picture in the wrestling business. And also we call it a happy accident because Mox goes out and Pac comes in and you've got a dream match, Pac and Omega. Now, I did not see this match. I heard it. You might say, what does that mean? I hear matches because I sit in the back, and if I can't exactly watch the match, I think next time I have like a dress room thing, I'm going to have them put a monitor in there next time so I can watch the whole show. But I didn't see the match, but I could hear it. And afterwards, both Kenny and Pac were mad because I guess their match went too long and they ran out of time and they had to cut a bunch of stuff and they were not happy about it. And meanwhile, it's like the best match on the show. They remind me so much of Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit in that these guys were putting on these amazing, amazing matches, but they were always mad because something didn't go right or they didn't hit a punch or a kick the way they wanted it to originally. And it just, they were always really hard on themselves for this. So, once again, I was like, because I remember one of the guys like, that match was terrible, the worst match of my career. And I'm like, it's impossible for Kenny Omega and Pac to have a bad match. And it's impossible for them to have a match that's like the worst. So I think in retrospect, both of them liked it a lot better, but this is something that everyone's going to have to learn. It's something that a lot of guys don't have the experience of live TV and specific hard timelines. If you look at the entire AEW roster, besides myself, Moxley, Dustin Rhodes, Cody Rhodes, Awesome Kong will probably know a little bit about it. But other than that, like, if you haven't been on live TV, it's a whole other world. I remember the first time I had a live TV match with Jerry Lynn, Mr. JL on WCW, and then we had 7 minutes. And I'm like, how can I do anything in 7 minutes? And now, live TV with a two-hour television show, or 3 hours if you're in WWE on Raw, 7 minutes is like pretty much the norm of what you're going to get, unless you have a higher profile kind of a main event match. So everyone's going to have to learn about this. And Pac and Kenny having to cut their match short, even though it still went like 23, 25 minutes, you're just going to have to learn how to deal with that and work with it. And they had a great match from reading it. I haven't watched it yet, like I said, but I heard it and I know those two guys, and you can't tell me it wasn't great. So, and then you had, of course, Best Friends versus the Dark Order to earn a first round tournament bye for the tag team tournaments, Chucky T and Trent Beretta. And I didn't see this one either, but I did see Orange Cassidy at the end to even the odds and take the death mask people, the minions out of the ring. And Orange Cassidy, very controversial. A lot of people hate him. I love him. I'll tell you the reason why. Anytime you can do something different in the wrestling world and get a reaction, that's what wrestling is all about. You know, I would really actually even like to work with this guy and, you know, kick his shins with the shades on and just doesn't care. And, you know, imagine when he does just open up and flip out and beat the crap out of somebody and show some real genuine emotion. This guy knows what he's doing. You have to be a good worker to get that sort of stuff over. So I'm actually really looking forward to seeing Orange Cassidy more as TV starts and putting him with the Best Friends. They have good chemistry, and kudos to Chucky Taylor for tightening up a little bit and looking in a little bit better shape. He's a great guy. Super nice. He's super goofy, fun to be around. I like him a lot. And, I like the Best Friends. Still trying to figure out the Dark Order. I don't know why one guy has a mask and one guy doesn't, and one guy's wearing a loincloth. But that's up to those guys. Once again, I haven't seen a lot of them, and I still feel like they haven't really shown me their best yet. It's very random right now, and I'm sure we'll learn more about them as the weekly TV starts. Let's go back to the matches. Then we have the self-proclaimed Joshi Girls, Kenny's project with Riho versus Sheeta for the right to face Nyla Rose as the champ. And I think obviously it's going to be tough for one of those little Japanese girls to face the giant Nyla Rose. But these guys got a style of their own, and it's fun to watch them work together. It's like to see them work together, it's like luchadors working together where they're doing their own style. Crowd kind of watches for a while and then kind of get into it. And, you know, they look like little princesses, especially Riho. It's really funny. She's very small. But I didn't see this match either. But I know from the past how they work, how they just kick the crap out of each other. And I think Riho versus Nyla Rose will be a really cool David versus Goliath match. So we'll see that probably, I think, the first or second week of TV. Then we get to the big main events of the show, in my opinion, the three top matches. Cody versus Sean Spears. Cody's got MJF with him, his best friend, and Sean is Tully Blanchard. Once again, I was getting ready to do some stuff. I watched the end of this match. I think we've done a great job of building Sean Spears. You don't bring a guy like Sean Spears or a guy like Hangman Page and put him over the very first night. You build them as stars. You put them in great spots. No one even knew really who Sean Spears was unless you watch NXT, which I don't know, no insult intended, but I know he was the perfect 10 guy and that was great, but he's Sean Spears now and he knows how to work. He's got a passion for the business and they really did a good job of obviously once again, another happy accident as we call it with Cody getting hit with that chair shot and all the stitches and kind of building it around that. And then, of course, the introduction of Tully Blanchard, Dusty Rhodes' mortal enemy, to be his manager. And the thing working with when you have these older guys, they got such great timing, such great facials. It was from a different time where it's kind of what we're doing at AEW. If you're going to be a good promo, you're going to have to learn how to do it yourself. There's no writers there to give you a script, and there's nobody there to kind of coddle you along. You're going to have to learn and figure it out. And when you see a Tully Blanchard with the way he's facials and the way he works and talks, it's just believable, you know? And of course, having the match with Arn Anderson coming down and giving the spine buster, tearing the house down, which was great. Another, you know, Arn is Tully's old partner and another, you know, enemy of Dusty Rhodes or whatever you want to say. I saw Arn afterwards and I said, geez, Arn, you had a little bit of a problem getting underneath the third rope when you were leaving. He goes, I know, it's because I'm fat. Arn never losing his sense of humor. And, you know, when you get guys like that with that type of legacy and lineage, you can use them forever as long as you use them the right way. And another thing I like what we do in AEW, if it was WWE, Arn would have got spine busted by somebody. You know, they take their legends and just have them get beat up by the young guys. And we didn't do that. We had them kind of involved in the storyline. And another thing I really enjoyed was seeing how Cody, by hook or by crook, has become the top babyface in the company because he connects with the crowd. And he does a great job of connecting the past to the present, to the future. He did it in his match with Dustin Rhodes, using the family connection and the brotherly love and the brotherly rivalry and all that sort of stuff. So I really, really enjoyed this match for what I saw. Once again, I saw the end part of it. The finish was great. The right guy went over and Cody is hot right now. But it's not like we buried Sean Spears because Sean now has somewhere to go. He's got a manager that has some credentials and some legitimacy. So just because somebody loses and wins, and that's another thing that I was hearing, like, well, you know, Jericho beat Hangman Page clean. Well, we're not doing the old school, you know, poke the ref in the eyes and nut shots. I mean, I'm sure there's a place for that, but this is more of a legit sports-based company. And it's like when I go to the Winnipeg Jets and you know, the New York Rangers beat the Jets in the finals of the playoffs, they don't have to, you know, throw salt in the ref's eyes and pull the goalie's pants down and you know, grab his knee pads and hold him to get the win. They just win. And that pisses you off even more. When your hometown team loses to the other team, that's a heel victory. That's a babyface loss. And there's no cheating involved. It's just the team that you like got beat by the team you didn't like. And that's where the heat comes from. I see people all the time that want to kill. You know, you go to a Vikings game when they play. I think they played the Cowboys maybe last year for whoever it was, or the Falcons, Philadelphia Eagles to get a playoff berth, and they didn't get it. Everybody wanted to kill the Philadelphia Eagles or the Atlanta Falcons. You guys get my point. Literally, they're walking out of the stadium wanting to murder anybody wearing an opposing team's jersey, Philly, Atlanta, whatever. That's what we're going for here in AEW. Just because, you know, if you're a heel, you don't have to cheat. It's just you're not the one that people like. And when you win, that gets you more heat. And that's what we're going for, especially with Tony Khan's real sports background with the Jacksonville Jaguars and with the Fulham Football Club, et cetera, et cetera. So we did not bury Sean Spears. I thought it was a great way to showcase him, and the sky's the limit for that guy. I don't think it's going to be long before we see a world title match, maybe a year or 2 years, between Hangman Page versus Sean Spears. And you heard it here first, and this is where the seeds got planted for both of them. Then you have the match of, I mean, you know what it's going to be, Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers. Ladder match. I mean, come on, right? These guys are both just completely, all four of them, just completely insane, but just great, great performers and just daredevils to the highest degree. Some of the craziest bumps I've ever seen in my life. The Canadian Destroyer off the ladder. I mean, there's just no way to do that and not get hurt, except for they didn't. And then, you know, Nick Jackson, he kind of fell out of the ring, took a face plant into a table. I did the same thing years ago when we had a TLC match with Jericho and Big Show versus DX. And I came up with the genius idea of standing on Big Show's shoulders, reaching for the title. Sean super kicks Big Show. Big Show turns around and sells. I fall off Big Show's shoulders straight through a table. Well, problem was Big Show was too far away, and I had no balance because you can't just stand on another man's shoulders. And I kind of ended up on the top rope for a second. Then I fell off the top rope and went face first through a table. It was the craziest bump I've ever taken in my life. I should have died. Thank God I didn't. I didn't even get hurt. And then here we are, you know, 10 years later, Nick Jackson takes pretty much the exact same bump. So the Wrestling Angels were with all of those guys, and they just put on this amazing performance. Now, once again, is it this type of ladder match that I would have? Well, no, and one of it is because I can't do a lot of that stuff, and B, I have a different mindset of what a ladder match is. I would use it more as a weapon to batter guys and beat guys down, and I think as a spectacle, this is probably the best ladder match you've ever seen. But go back and watch Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho ladder match for the world title and see how we did it a little bit different way. Different attitudes, different mindsets. Is one safer than the other? I mean, this one had a little bit more of kind of like, well, just throw the caution to the wind and go for it. But it's a ladder match. It's like, you know, W.C. Fields said, don't work with kids and animals because you can't trust them. Well, don't work with ladders either because they'll bite you at any time. I lost a couple teeth because of it. So once again, great match. And I'm glad all four of those guys are okay. And I think it's time for the Bucks to stop having those type of stunt matches. And I think they'll probably be the first ones to tell you they'd rather have a couple just actual, you know, reaching for the hot tag type matches, which can be great as well. And they will be. So amazing, amazing match. Now, here's my favorite part. Last match, of course, main event, Jericho versus Page. And there's been some debates that, well, you should have put the ladder man on, a match on last because you can't follow it. I disagree. The world title match is the world title match. And that's why you put guys in there that can have a world title match. Now, before I get into the kind of the mechanics of this, I was watching a match that Steve Austin sent me. Yes, Steve Austin, they're still very good friends. He's allowed to be friends with me. it was Harley Race versus Terry Funk, 1977 Houston, for the NWA title, best 2 out of 3 falls. They weren't 45 minutes. They didn't do anything, but it was one of the best matches I've seen. It was a true world title match. What is a true world title match? A true world title match should have a story. It should have intensity. It should have some viciousness. And it should be completely between two men that are fighting for the biggest prize in the sport. And if you can't put that on last, then you shouldn't be a champion. If you can't put that on last, then you shouldn't have a world title. Because any single person that's in this business, any single performer in AEW, male or female, their goal should be to be the champion. And I don't care if you have a double blow up your ball bag, dynamite, stick up the ass match before it. If the world title doesn't go last, it's the same reason why Hunter versus Jericho went on last at WrestleMania 18 when we had Hogan versus Rock 2 matches before. Now, I didn't agree with it. I thought we should have went on before Hogan and Rock. Triple H was adamant the world title goes last. Of course, he was winning. But listen, if you can't put the champion on last, whether the match suffers or not, that's just the way it goes. And I thought we worked a great match. So how do you follow this amazing spectacle of a ladder match between the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks? You start with an arm drag, and then you start with another one. And that was specifically for the critics, so I knew it'd go, this match is starting too slow. Well, guess what? Start slow and taper off from there, as Tracy Smothers used to say. And I think that, once again, that's kind of what I wanted to do, is kind of, you got to reset the game, reset the binary system, and get people into the match the way that you want them to. And have them remember that it's a world title match. And that's kind of what we did. So I really, really enjoyed this match. It's probably my favorite that I've had this year. I liked it better than the one I had with Kenny. I liked it better than the one I had with Okada, which was the most critically blasted 4.5-star match you'll ever see. I love that. It's like, how am I getting yelled at for having a 4.5-star match? But this one was not that. I had a much better feeling about this. I thought the crowd was great. I thought they really bought into, once again, you got the duality of the Hangman Page fans and you got the Jericho fans. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you're not going to have Chris Jericho be a complete heel after almost 30 years on the job. And quite frankly, once again, when I say I want my thank you for making AEW legitimate, it's called shooting on the square, ribbing on the square. I'm working, but I'm telling the truth. And I think a lot of fans realize that if Jericho hadn't come to AEW, it'd be a completely different ball of wax. So, of course, there's going to be people that are cheering for me. But I'll say this, though. Hangman Page, great performer. First time we've ever been in the ring together. First time we've ever touched. We've never touched before. Had some great ideas. I love the shooting star press into the code breaker on the floor. Someone said, oh, it looked like a train wreck. Well, it was a train wreck. That's what it was supposed to look like. It's a desperation move where a guy's hitting a code breaker out of a shooting star press. I haven't seen that one before. And in this day and age, when Jericho can think of ideas that haven't been seen before, once again, it's 30 years of experience. Buckshot clothesline is great. His moonsault from the top is great. The dead shot pile driver. All of that stuff was so much fun to do. In fact, he busted me open for a little poetic justice. The happy accident we had in Jacksonville where I kicked him in the head and busted it open added so much intensity to the match. He then delivers it back to me. Great moment with myself and Aubrey where I said, what happens to give her a shove, tell her to get in my face, and I'm the official. And we played it straight, no comedy. Not the old school Ric Flair where you get shoved and you shove back and go, hey. I wanted to make it straight. Like, you know, if you yelled at the umpire would be like, hey, listen, man, go F yourself. I'm the umpire. Don't you talk to me like that. People enjoyed that. So there's a lot of little details in there that I really, really enjoyed and had a lot of fun with. And then we had debated what kind of a finish to do and how it would work. And I'll tell you what, man, he hit me with that buckshot clothesline and went for the spinning knockout blow that he had given me that had cut me open. And when I hit him with the Judas effect, I couldn't believe the reaction. The pop was huge. And I got a lot of feedback after the people saying, man, I can't believe after doing it two or three times that you got the Judas effect over. And that's how it was. I wanted it to be something out of nowhere. And now we actually found out how to deliver it. And people are going to be watching for it now. So just a lot of great stuff, great reversals and Walls of Jericho and him getting out of this and getting into that. And a great idea that Dean Malenko gave me to take his arm through the guardrail and smash it in front of his parents. And I just really enjoyed it. I felt very comfortable, very confident. My cardio felt great. So yeah, I just really enjoyed it. And I thought it was a great way to end a great show. And once again, if you thought the match was too slow and shouldn't have been put on last, well, I disagree with you. And if you think that the ladder match was too self-indulgent and had too many high spots and you were waiting for the world title match and you like the world title match better, well, that's fine. We give you the opportunity to decide what kind of matches you like, and we're giving you a whole bunch of different styles. Other companies have a cookie cutter way of doing things. We don't. And I think that's one of the reasons why AEW is very popular and continuing to grow and get a lot of eyeballs on us, because Tony Khan and our mindset is to let the artists be artists, let the pros be pros. If you like what they're doing, great. If you don't, wait till the next match and you'll get something different. So I came through the curtain. You get that feeling. I got blood streaming down. I'm the new champ. You feel great. And then they said we had to do something after. I don't ever pay attention to what I have to do after the match. I want to do the match first. So then when I come through the curtain, Chris, we're going to have you walk backstage and you're going to go through and then just, you know, talk a lot of crap and you're going to go into the dressing room and there's going to be some champagne. You're going to spray it around. I'm like, that's cool. So basically, I got a chance to do my other favorite thing in wrestling besides get crowd reactions is just improv and just walking through backstage and, you know, talking trash to the Young Bucks and yelling at Brian Pillman Jr.'s hair and yelling at the paramedics, where were you when I was bleeding to death? And saying I got a whole room full of silent people. Usually when someone wins a world championship, there's champagne and flowers and standing ovations. And I'm getting none of that because all of you are so stunned that Chris Jericho won the world title, you know. And I just think it's really, really funny when you see that. All right, as we wind down here, I'm doing my backstage speech, and now I'm yelling at the librarian saying, shush, you're going to shush me up yours, and Scorpio Sky, you'll never get a title shot. Then I go into my room, and I got a little tray of meat and kind of appetizers, whatever you call them, dainties, whatever, hors d'oeuvres, and there's a thing of olives. I do the total spinal tap, you know. Look at this olives. This one. Look, there's nobody in there, but this little guy in there. What's wrong with this? This terrible backstage catering. And then go to the little Dumb and Dumber. I got to have a little bit of the bubbly, a little bit of champagne, which I then spray all over an AEW employee and grab the world title. And had to do a bunch of pre-tapes and had to do some stuff afterwards with some of the other guys. Let me also add, too, that I love the fact that the Santana and Ortiz attacked the Young Bucks after the ladder match, which of course sets the tone now for a future opponents for those guys. It's great to have them as well. So I did some backstage stuff with them and some other people, but just really, really cool experience. And it's one of those things when you're finally finished filming and it's past midnight and you know, I had to get a couple stitches from the receipt that Adam Page gave me. Thanks, Hangman. And, you know, it really is funny because Roddy Piper told me years ago, I remember when I won the first Undisputed Championship in 2001, he goes, you know, the main event is the loneliest position because when you're done, everybody's gone. And that's basically what happened. But it's also something else that's very cool that Lance Storm with his analytical mind pointed out to me that, you know, in 2001, when TNT closed and Vince, you know, took the TNT, the WCW belt, and combined it with the WWE belt, the first ever undisputed champion of the new era was Chris Jericho. And now here we are 20 years later, whatever, 18 years later, and wrestling is back on the TNT network and Chris Jericho's the new champion of the new era. So something I don't take lightly to be the AEW champion, a lot of responsibility for it. And we've got a lot of great ideas coming up. We spent a lot of time kind of throwing storylines around and really, really excited at this point to get started with the weekly television starting October 2nd. And there's some great fellowship going on, some great camaraderie. One thing that's really cool is because AEW takes care of the accommodations for the company, everyone stays in the same hotel. So there's a big kind of, you know, party afterwards. WWE, everybody's split up unless it's WrestleMania weekend, but there's a lot of fans and a lot of kind of responsibilities. But after the show, it's great just to sit together with the guys and just shoot the breeze and hanging out with Tony Khan and Chucky T and Jungle Boy and Alex Marvez and a couple other guys just shooting the breeze and exchanging stories and Frankie Kazarian and Chris Daniels and Earl Hebner and just having a great time and just remembering the fun part of wrestling, which is always the dressing room environment. And listen, it's a great honor to be AEW's first champ. Some people think it could have went the other way. I would have went either way, but I'm excited to be the champion and kind of start this new era. The company's not going to be built around me, but it's a great way to start. And I think after all the experience that I have, it's what I offer and what I do best is helping the younger guys learn and get better. And in the meantime, I'm still delivering great matches. And I'm not being egotistical to say that, because if I didn't feel that way, I wouldn't be saying it. So what a great show. And man, here we go. We're getting ready for October 2nd for the show, AEW's show, to start on the TNT network, 8 p.m. from the sold out Capitol Center in Washington, D.C. And what a ride it's going to be. So I hope you guys enjoyed All Out. And what was your favorite match? Hit me up on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho. Let me know what matches you like best, whether you like mine. If you didn't like mine, that's fine too. Just don't be too nasty or I'll block you. F off up yours. But in the meantime and in between time, go back and watch the show if you haven't seen it. It's very much worth watching. It was a great, great show and a lot of awesome matches. And once again, I think by Hangman Page losing, if he would have won the title, maybe it's too soon. But now you've got a definite contender who showed what he can do. He had a great showing. He's a great performer. And it's only a matter of time before he ends up to be the world champion as well. And that's what you do in the wrestling. You build people. You slowly build them and take them as far as they can go and get them ready to get to the next level. And we definitely did that with the Jurassic Express. We did that with Sean Spears. We did that with Santana and Ortiz. We did that with Adam Page. So Pac got a huge victory over Kenny, which I didn't even say earlier. It was a big shock that you know, oh, Kenny Omega's getting buried. Kenny Omega is not getting buried. Kenny Omega's doing what we ask him to do and what he knows is right to build up other challengers for him. Once again, Kenny Omega will be a world champion soon enough as it is as well. So thank you for joining us. And it's going to be a great, great ride. So we will see you soon, and we'll see you on the Unleashed in the West Tour, Fozzy. It starts tomorrow, September 5th, in Denver, Colorado, at the Marquee Theater. September 6th at Colorado Springs, 7th Grand Junction, Colorado, 8th Salt Lake City, Utah. We're going all the way to Atlanta on September 28th. Go check out FozzyRock.com for all ticket information, and VIP, too. The VIPs are really picking up. We have a great time. We hang out. We meet you. We greet you. We take pictures. We ask questions, and we do a private VIP show just for you guys. A mini set of songs that you might not hear later on and just have a little bit of fun. So go check out all ticket and VIP meet and greet information at FozzyRock.com and go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com to book one of the final cabins for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea Part 2. We really do have less than 20 cabins. We want you to be there. AEW is going to be there. Fozzy's going to be there. Ric Flair is going to be there. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com for all information and buy one of those final cabins to not get left behind. And coming up on Friday, man, this is great. Snake Sabo and Rachel Bolan from Skid Row talk about the 30th anniversary of the first Skid Row record, and it's a lot of fun. These are great guys. So come join us then. In the meantime and in between time, thank you so much for being a part of AEW All Out, and we will see you on October 2nd, and we'll see you on Friday for some Skid Row, and we'll see you on Thursday in Denver for Fozzy, and that's it. Enough of my yakking. Have a great week. Stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy. And remember, Le Champion is here. I'm going to start referring to myself as that. Why is Jericho speaking French? I don't know, because it's obnoxious and snotty. So all hail Le Champion.